If you would, go ahead and open to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. First things first, I think I'd be in trouble if I didn't wish my mom Happy Mother's Day. And all the other mothers out there this morning. This is my first Sunday here in Huntsville, beginning to work with the group here. So I thought it nothing more fitting than to speak on good works. Hopefully as we go through this lesson, you can see yourself in a lot of these examples as we work through things that are good works and why we do good works. And also as we work through this lesson, I would hope that these are things that you can help me do in my time here. I think it's important for the church, for the group of individuals that meets regularly, to partake in every single good work that we possibly can. And hopefully that's evident as we work through this lesson. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Beginning in verse 23, actually. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. In the context of these two verses, you see some things listed. And first you see not neglecting to meet together as some do. So in partaking of these works and doing things in the immediate context of Hebrews, you see there's a fear. Obviously, whoever's writing this book is worried that some are going to stop meeting together. So that's listed as one good thing that you could be doing, is continuing to meet together. But there's another part listed, and it says, but encouraging one another more as you see the day nearing. So one, continue to meet together, and hopefully all of us here see the importance in meeting together. As we've sung songs to one another, as we've had prayers, as we've begun to take the Lord's Supper, we can see the value in all of those things. Also, there's another step. There's the word but, and it says, but encouraging one another more as you see the day nearing. We can see that we are expected and held accountable by our brethren by the fact that we're here, by the fact that we're to be partaking in these good works. The first thing that I would like to look at about good works is that there's a physical aspect to our good works. Jesus even shows us that physical good works are to be done. If you'll look in Matthew chapter 25, Matthew chapter 25, verses 35 through 46. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry, and feed you, or thirsty, and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger, and invite you in, or naked, and clothe you? When did we see you sick, or in prison, and come to you? The king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. Was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they themselves also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And so I think it's clearly evident in this one passage alone that there's two sides of the coin with good works. Obviously, in physical good works, if you take care of those around you, even the least of these, God will reward you. But on the other side, If you don't do those, even to the least of the people around you, clothe and feed the sick, then God will certainly say, depart from me, and cast you into the eternal fire. Again, we see in Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you receive, freely you give. Now these are instructions for the apostles, and clearly we can't do some of these things now. But I think the instruction there still holds true. It was that the apostles were to go about taking care of the needs of the people around them and preaching the word. You know, we see that Jesus himself performed physical good works. We see that in Luke chapter 7, if you would turn there. Luke chapter 7, verse 21. At the very time, he cured many people of diseases and afflictions and evil spirits, and he gave sight to many who were blind. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. 33 through 39. And this story is probably familiar with a lot of us. That's when Jesus feeds 4,000. He says in verse 33, the disciples said to him, where would we get so many loaves in this desolate place to satisfy such a large crowd? And Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, seven, and a few small fish. And he directed the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the seven loaves and the fish, and giving thanks, he broke them and started giving them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the people. And they all ate and were satisfied, and they picked up what was left over of the broken pieces, seven large baskets full. And those who ate were 4,000 men, besides women and children. And so certainly you can see that Jesus had a hand in the good works about him. He was doing physical things. And I think especially in this latter example, you can see that the physical good works he was performing was to perform a greater spiritual work. But certainly there's a place for the physical works that we're to take part in. We're to perform good works just as Christ did. And I think that's evident in so many more passages than I have written down, but we'll just go ahead and flip to a couple. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 27, you see, pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. And certainly there's a lot of other things that we could be doing, but James just hits on a couple. And he mentions these two as producing pure and undefiled religion. Certainly we're to visit widows, and we're to help orphans. But then there's a later part that says, keep oneself unstained by the world. And so, and by doing these things, we can help produce that last part. In Hebrews chapter 10, almost where we started this lesson, in verse 34, for you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. And we can see in this context, the writer here is commending them for having done something. And there's a lot of thought as to what this is specifically talking about. I would tend to think that it was talking about kindness shown to the writer. But in verse 34, it says, you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property. And I don't know how many of us could do that. I know a lot of people in the area have lost their property lately due to some storms that rolled through. That's not a fun thing. That's not enjoyable for anyone to lose everything that you've ever had, only have what's on your back at the time. But it says, for this cause, they accepted joyfully the seizure of their property. I don't know if I could ever understand how to do that completely. But apparently these people did, at least at one point. Now in the context, it seems that they've fallen back on their initial zeal and love for the gospel. And he's saying, hey, remember the times that you stood up for these things. You accepted joyfully the seizure of your property. You had sympathy for those around you and the prisoners, knowing that you yourselves have a better possession and a lasting one. And I think that's key for all good works that we're to take part in. that we remember when we look ahead to the thing that's stored up in heaven for us. We remember that we're told that, you know, things can be bad here and we're not supposed to be storing up treasures here, but those in heaven. And I think it's certainly true to those Hebrews that were able to do these things. It's because they could see that. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Those who are rich are not to lean on their riches. In fact, they're only to use those to do good things for other people, to provide for their family, and to do things for others. What they're to be rich in is good works. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 18, I think that's so clear, and it's so hard for us to understand, because I think most of us in this room are rich. Some of us may be lower on the totem pole than others, but I think generally, as a country, we're rich people. And I think it's hard for us to not get caught up in that, for us to not really find pleasure and find comfort in the fact that our bank statement has a lot of zeros behind it. I think we're to remember this passage and to know that we're to be rich in nothing but good works. Certainly God blesses us with all things, but we're to use those things appropriately. God commends those who abound in physical good works. And I think we can see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. You don't have to turn there, but it's a passage talking about their giving and how they gave abundantly more than they were even expected to give or what was needed because they love the Lord. And I think that is an amazing statement in the Bible. It's one of my favorite passages to read through and just see the generosity of brethren when they really focus on what God has done for us. But along with physical good works, we're also to be partaking in spiritual good works. And I think there's two aspects of works, being physical and spiritual. And I think physical is important, but I think we do those physical things because we understand the spiritual implications. In Matthew chapter 28, we can see this, that Jesus commends those who partake in spiritual good works. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. In the Great Commission, he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." We view this as the Great Commission. A lot of us are very familiar with this passage. And you'll note, differently from the Limited Commission, everything here is spiritual in nature. Everything here mentions going forth and making disciples, baptizing in the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching to observe all that I command you. And I think really this is the heart of all things. Physical good works certainly show Christ in us to other people. But if we don't do spiritual good works, we're just good people, that's it. We're not showing anything in ourselves above us. And we can see that Jesus performed spiritual good works in John chapter 10. Let's go ahead and turn there real quick. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 32. Jesus answered them, "I showed you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you stoning me?" And so in this passage, Jesus was referring back to the teaching, to teaching the blind man about himself. And they came up to him with some questions saying, you know, what kind of authority do you have? You see that a lot in the Gospels. But then they are ready to stone him, and he's like, "All I'm doing here are good works. Which one of them are you ready to stone me for?" And certainly we could point to numerous passages that show Jesus performing spiritual good works. It's all he did throughout his life. Even when he was 12, he was in the tabernacle reasoning with people. That's what he came to this earth to do, was to perform good works for people, to show teaching, to show that God has a plan, to fulfill that plan, and to work with people. Jesus performed spiritual good works. And so it only makes sense that we draw this conclusion that we're to perform spiritual good works just as Christ did. And we can see that in a lot of passages, James chapter 3, Hebrews chapter 3, Galatians chapter 6, James chapter 5, verses 19 through 20. If you would turn to the first passage there, James chapter 3, 1 through 2. James chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. You know, that's one spiritual work that we could take part in, is being teachers. I think that's really important, and I think as being in the church building setting where we have a lot of classes and kids go from here to this class to another class on Sunday mornings to another class on Wednesday nights, we see the value in teachers. And certainly congregations that aren't as blessed with as many teachers, they can see it more clearly because they're struggling to find teachers for classes. And I think that's a spiritual good work we could be taking part in. In Hebrews chapter 3, it mentions encouraging other Christians. That's one as well. In Galatians chapter 6, 1 and 2, we talk about bearing with one another or working with weaker Christians. That's another spiritual work we could be taking part in. In James chapter 5, verses 19 through 20, it even talks about us being able to save someone from death, being a spiritual work that we're commanded to take part in. And you see that physical good works and spiritual good works often work hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. So when we see the question, do we have to do both? We obviously think, well, yeah, you have to do both. We have to be partakers of both of these things. In Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8, if you would turn there, talks about members of Christ's body. And as members of Christ's body, and understanding that we have to be partakers of both, certainly we have to understand that some of us are better at some things than others. In Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8, for just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. And he who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. So when we examine ourselves, you think, well, I can't do everything. I'm not as good of a teacher, or maybe I can't encourage people as well as, you know, Jim over there. Each one of us has a role. Each one of us has one or two things maybe we're better at than some other people. And though we are to be partakers of both in physical and spiritual good works, that doesn't mean we're partakers in everything as good as everybody else. I think that's something hard for me to get my head around a lot of times because I feel like, well, I'm supposed to be a Christian. I'm supposed to be, you know, grade A at everything. And it really actually discourages me when I'm not as good as a lot of other people at stuff. I think it's really important that we remember passages like these when we're trying to perform our good works. That we have a role and that Christ certainly understands that and we're to fill our role. Why do we do these good works? Why are we partakers of both physical good works and spiritual good works? Well, certainly it's because God created us for them. It's in Ephesians, we'll be flipping here a couple times. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. And there's a whole lot to be said about Ephesians. Jeff Kaysen's doing his best working through spiritual blessings in Ephesians, and there's certainly more than we could ever hope to comprehend and understand. But just from this passage alone, one thing that we need to really remember is that we are created to walk in the good works that God laid before us. That is one of our biggest functions in being here in the world, is to perform good works. God even tells us that He made us for that. Also, they give glory to God in 1 Peter 2, 11 and 12. We can see that. God has given His due glory. In Ephesians 1, verse 12, if you'll flip over just a page. To the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of His glory. God talks a lot about the praise of His glory, and there's a calling that we're to attain to. And certainly by performing these good works that we see a chapter later that we were made for, we can be to the praise of God's glory. Also, we perform these good works to win souls for God. In 1 Peter chapter 2, if you would flip there. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. Certainly, just by our good works and by being in the world and people being able to see those good works, they don't have reason to slander us. And if they do, false accusations. But if we're performing the works as we should be doing, people will see that, and maybe they'll start glorifying God. You know, maybe they'll start saying, Josh, you know, he's really good about caring for other people. I wonder why he does that. There's got to be some reason he does that. Maybe that creates an opportunity there. It also demonstrates a living faith. Back to James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. And there's a lot to understand about passages that have faith and works mentioned and how they work hand in hand. But in this passage specifically, we can see that faith is great and all, but it's useless without works. And I think it could be said the other way too. If you have works, it's great, but it's useless without faith. They work hand in hand, and we can see that in this passage. To have a living faith, we have to have works. In Titus 1:16, we see the Cretans, by their works, denied God. So certainly it works the other way around. If we have poor works, or we have bad works, and we're taking works of the flesh on, then we can be denying God when people observe us. Also, another benefit of doing good works is for our brethren. If we go to Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, we can see that we're to encourage one another daily. And then in James chapter 1, verse 27, we can tend to the ailed or help our sick brethren. They make us more like Jesus. And isn't really what it's all about, that, to be more like Jesus. We saw that Christ took part in physical good works and spiritual good works. And if we want to be more like Christ, then we have to do both of those as well. And we can see that in Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Let's go ahead and turn there real quick. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? That's pretty simple. I don't feel like that needs explanation. But it's so important that we continue in good works. Now, if we have both, we've already talked about this a little bit, we can fulfill our calling in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12. We can be to the praise of His glory. And I think this is something for all of us to really take to heart. Good works don't earn us our salvation. And I think sometimes we cringe at that thought because we don't want to be associated with things that we think are wrong. And I don't know if it's lack of our teaching or just us being scared to say something that sounds like something we disagree with, but faith saves us. Now, certainly faith and works work together, and we can see that in Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9, and Titus 2, 11 through 14. If you would turn to Ephesians chapter 2, we see that it is only faith that saves us. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. And then in Titus chapter 2, Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny godliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. God has offered us redemption purely as an act of grace. Nothing we could have ever thought or said or done would have changed the fact that God would offer us redemption. And we can see that all through the Old Testament, no matter how many people rebelled against God, God still had a plan and he executed that plan. And we accept that unmerited favor, as we so often define grace, by having faith. And certainly there's a lot of things that go into faith. Faith is an obedience to commands, and we can talk about commands for living right and being baptized and all those things, but we accept that redemption by our faith. We then live by godliness so we can purify ourselves in Christ. Then and only then are we able to be used for good works in Christ's kingdom. It's only after God offers us redemption and we take that redemption by living in faith, and we decide to live in godliness and put away the things, the old things behind us, as Colossians 3 talks about. It's only then, at that point, are we able to truly be used in God's kingdom for good works and to give glory to God and to attain to his calling, to be to the praise of his glory. It's only then that all those things work together, and it's only when we have physical and spiritual good works that we can really be effective in God's kingdom. And I think that's really important for us to know, because I think a lot of us think, well, if I'm spiritual at church, then I have good works. Or if I do something nice for somebody, that's all I have to do once a week. And it's something that we have to actively fight against in being lazy. I know I'm lazy in a lot of ways, and I have to fight against that. One small way that I fight against being lazy, and I think it's because we're creatures of comfort and routine, is I try to like sit somewhere different most of the time. That's something really small, and a lot of times, like, nobody even notices, and I might not even talk to anybody in the new place I sit. But it's something that I try to do just to kind of keep me out of getting into a rut, I guess. Something small, being able to say hey to Miss Verna in Birmingham, who sat in the back by herself a lot of times. Just little things that we have to train our mind to do. And we have to understand that we can only do them once we understand and fulfill all of these things that God has offered us in his redemption. That's pretty much it for the lesson. And it was really simple and it was really straightforward, but I wanted it to be that way because I wanted it to be a quick reminder of the things that all of us need to be thinking about doing in our day-to-day lives. Whether we're in this building or whether we're around any brethren that we even know, we need to be thinking about these things constantly, because if you're like me, caring for other people or going out of my way for other people isn't exactly routine for me. I have to really try and be mindful of the people I'm around and the needs that there are and the things that I say and the things that I think. It's a constant battle to keep those things pure. And especially as I begin trying to work with the group here, and trying to find my own way and figure out ways I could be helpful. These are things that I need to be reminded of by all of you. These are things that I think all of us could help each other with. And they're things that I think the Lord's church has to do to live up to its calling. No matter how we serve God, good works are a mark of a pure and undefiled religion. Remember that in James chapter 1, verse 27. And it is the only key that we have to being spiritually blessed. You can see that in James chapter 1, verse 25. So I'd like to ask, what kind of good works are you doing? Can you think of any that you've done today or yesterday? Maybe for somebody down your street or randomly at a gas station or even for your family. Have you performed good works in the church assembly this morning? And if you have, who gets the glory for those? Those are things that we'd like to think about this week and really try to do better on. And let's remember Titus chapter 3, verse 8. Those who believe in God should be careful to maintain good works. If there's anyone this morning that needs to come forward because you haven't been the best example, you haven't been performing good works like you should have, you haven't had the faith to do those things, certainly we can sit with you and try to help you with that. And we haven't talked specifically about God's plan of salvation this morning, but know that there is one, and God redeems His people if you'll follow His commandments. And we could help you if you'd come forward while we stand and sing in any way.